If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hello and welcome to another Eurogamer newscast, and this week we're talking about Ubisoft Forward and Assassin's Creed. With me as ever is our Eurogamer trusty reporting team. It's Ed Nightingale.
Hello.
Victoria Kennedy.
Hello.
Liv Nan.
Hello.
And I'm Tom Phillips. So we're recording after Ubisoft Forward has broadcast. If you tuned in at the weekend, you'll have a very good idea what was announced. If you missed it, there's been a lot of things going on recently. That's absolutely fair. I traveled to Paris last week and had a pre-brief of the event before it happened. And I also got to speak to Marc-Alexis Côté, who is the boss of Assassin's Creed now. He's at Ubisoft Quebec and previously worked there on games such as Assassin's Creed Syndicate and Odyssey. I also got some interview time with Yves Guillemot, head of Ubisoft, and it was a very interesting event. Even just an in-person press event, these events don't happen very often these days. And I think it came at a very interesting time for Ubisoft after 2 years of headlines coming out of that company that were nothing to do with its games, obvious delays and things affecting the company, which have affected all companies in the video games industry. And kind of an interesting point to talk about the future at a period where, you know, Ubisoft's had a quiet year because of those sort of delays and things. And they laid out quite a roadmap, both for Assassin's Creed, a really unprecedented roadmap for Assassin's Creed, and some of its other games, which are going to come out through this year. Maybe let's go through the non-Assassin's things first, because there were a few bits and pieces. Victoria, you saw a bit of Just Dance. There were a few actual news headlines to come of that, apart from the fact that, shock horror, there's a new Just Dance game this year.
I mean, yeah, Just Dance is Just Dance, and I had Justin Timberlake in my head for quite a while after that, and I like to share that with everyone, so everyone, sing, I got this feeling inside my bones. I think that's the words. Anyway.
No.
I'll leave it to you.
But headline-wise, there's going to be online multiplayer for the first time, which is, I think it's been a, well, yeah, I think it's quite a long time coming. I think this is something that this game will work well as an online multiplayer platform, so that is exciting. And Ubisoft did confirm to us that it will be a cross-platform. It will have cross-platform capabilities, which will be great. There's going to be a new app for it. So, yeah, this is the kind of game I play a lot with my kids, and I love it. I'm always exhausted by the end of one round of Katy Perry, but it's good fun. So,
we saw a few other things. We saw a lot of their free-to-play stuff. Ubisoft have all of these games that have been out for sort of 5-6 years now, and they're still supporting them, putting new bits and pieces in. So things for Rainbow Six and Brawlhalla and things like that. We saw a bit of Mario Rabbids. We actually got some new news there too. Did anyone catch that?
I did, and when they showed the Rayman DLC, I thought it was a cheese string. I was like, what on earth is this crossover? Because I just saw the head, and I was like, that's so... No, I
you
know who
know
he
Rayman?
Is. I was like, oh, it's Rayman. But when they came, I was like, cheese strings? I don't get it.
It was just that bit, like, poking out at the top. So, yeah.
Just like, that's such a bizarre collaboration.
Can't believe you're doing my mom.
I mean, now I know
this.
That it's Rayman. I can see that it's Rayman, but I had no context for that pan across his head. Just maybe I was hungry at the time. I don't know.
Mood. I really enjoyed the the gameplay though, I thought, like, I haven't played the first one, and it's one of those games that I've been meaning to go back to and I just haven't had time. And with the sequel coming out, I really need to play it, but I think it looks brilliant. Like, graphically it looks stunning. Yeah. And I think it's got some really interesting gameplay. So I'm very intrigued to give that a go. That's probably the game out of all of these that I most want to play, if I'm honest.
I like the Wiggler train.
I was going to say, did they show the trailer with the Wiggler train?
I played the first one.
Yeah.
They played the Wiggler train, yeah. You played the first
it's
one.
Because the... I saw... Sorry, you go, Liv.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, I played the first one. So I'm really excited for this because I really, really enjoyed it. So,
I always like how sort of sulky Rosalina Rabbit looks. She's such a mood.
Peach Rabbit. Peach Rabbit is my favorite. She's the best. She's so relatable.
Is that because you relate to her?
Yes. She's so fabulous. She's always got to make sure she's always... on point.
Yeah, she's always taking selfies, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. Was there anything else apart from Assassins that caught your eyes in the forward? There was a lot of this sort of service game stuff, and I think one of the sort of criticisms I saw was that if you weren't into some of that, you were probably sat waiting for what Ubisoft had to say about Assassins later on in the show.
Yeah, I think it was a bit of a shame because they did obviously highlight it as a sort of Assassin's Creed showcase, and then there was a lot of Assassin stuff, but you did have to wait and wade your way through a few other... I don't know, I wasn't particularly interested in a lot of the stuff. I enjoyed the Rabbids and the Just Dance, but otherwise I was not interested. So it did take a long time to get to Assassin's Creed, even though it was the headline.
Between sort of The Division as well and also Assassin's Creed, I think there's quite a few mobile games coming. So you can see that they're very much branching into that area, which sort of ties in with the Tencent stuff from last week as well. So that's clearly a big priority for them, as much as Assassin's Creed as a series is, I think.
For sure. Well, Assassin's Creed was the meat of it, and it was... There was a lot, obviously. There was an awful lot. And I think you can sort of divide it into two bits, right? So there's Mirage, which is the Baghdad said game out next year. And then there's everything that's coming after that. And they really gave us what I thought was almost like when you're watching one of those Marvel presentations and they say, here's the next 10 years of Marvel films. We've got the Avengers coming up, and, you know, here's everything that's leading up to that. And they announced a lot. Maybe let's talk about Mirage first, because I think it's a lot more self-explanatory and straightforward, and we know a lot more about it. It's out next year, as I said. It's coming from Ubisoft Bordeaux, that did a few expansions in the past, most recently the Valhalla Island one, which is good. And it tells the backstory of Basim, who is in Valhalla. And if you've finished Valhalla, you'll know that there's a lot more to that character than meets the eye. But we meet him in Baghdad several decades before the events of Valhalla take place, when he is a young street thief and he's swept up into the assassins, or back then they were called the Hidden Ones. And we see sort of his life as he starts to realize who he is. The trailer, if it's the one that I saw, it was narrated or had voiceover from his mentor, who I can't remember the actress's name. It will come to me.
Great,
but she's
voice.
Got that incredible voice.
I love it.
And
I have questions for you about Basim, Tom.
Yeah, shoot. I was just going to say
prequel.
The one thing that teases there being a bit more to Basim comes at the very end of the teaser, and in the memory corridor bit, which is where you sort of go into the heads of the assassin as they have killed their target, you see a little mysterious figure pop up. And through interviews with the developers of Mirage last week, I was told that it was a djinn. I find that very interesting, because recently in Assassin's Creed, they have used the local mythological elements that someone of that time period would be familiar with, to sort of almost like an Instagram filter for what is really going on. So you have, if you're playing the game, mythological aspects that are relevant to that time period. So in Odyssey, you do meet Medusa, and in Valhalla, Odin is walking around. And if you're playing the game and you just think, oh, it's cool, I'm in Greece, there's Medusa, there's that layer. But underneath it, there is an explanation for what those things are really sort of relating to. And I think that Jin is the first inkling that we've got that there is more to the scene. Anyway, but Victoria, what were your questions?
Well, no, you've answered that, because I was going to say, what was that at the end? But you've obviously, because I wasn't really sure, I just saw this sort of spectre, whatever. But no, the question I was going to ask is, obviously you've mentioned in your interview that Basim has like these secrets that are kind of shown in earlier games, but later games narratively. How do you as a fan hope to see that narrative play out, given that Basim may not be aware of said secrets, but you as a player will be?
Well, I think that what Assassins often does is it shows flawed people, and through a lot of Valhalla, and I don't really want to spoil the end of it, but I would say that like there is more to Basim than meets the eye, and through a lot of it, he is quite a heroic figure. And I think it will be very interesting to meet Basim in his younger days, when I think that we will be seeing him sort of emerge to become a hero. And then there is this sort of internal conflict within him between the person who he is and actually forces beyond his control. When I spoke to the developers, it was actually interesting to hear their thoughts on the title of the game, Mirage, because not only does it refer to the sort of geographical area where the game is set in the Middle East, but also the idea that there is stuff sort of going on, and you can sort of see it, but until you get closer to it, you don't really realize what is actually going on behind it. And I think they've got an interesting balance to strike between people who are playing Mirage with the full context of who Basim is, and people who are just like, oh, cool, it's an Assassin's Creed game, smaller scale, just like AC1 back in the day. I want a 15-hour campaign to be able to run around a city, go over rooftops and stab people. And that's what I want. And Assassins has always faced this, this sort of has to appeal to people who just want the historical settings, and people who want all of the extra context, and, you know, want to link up all the games and sort of understand the meta story, which is a really good segue, actually. Thank you, Victoria. to talk about Infinity. This was not planned, but it's working well. to talk about Infinity, which is just incredibly, is really interesting as a fan, because sort of the biggest news that I got from interviews, which they didn't talk about, there was sort of a segment on Infinity, and they named some of the parts that are going into it during the forward presentation. But what I learned through interviews is that the modern day, the meta stuff, is being completely pulled out of Assassin's Creed games after Mirage. Mirage is the end of the current era, really. It's sort of an epilogue with a bit more of Basim. And then Infinity, everything afterwards, is the start of a brand new saga, I suppose, but also just a new phase. I keep saying things that remind me of Marvel, but something very different, where the Infinity launcher will exist as the thing that sort of wraps around all of these new projects, but and holds the modern day and the meta stuff in it. And these other projects can sort of stand alone and be very different. I'm curious, after just watching the presentation, did you understand exactly what Infinity was, or did you guys still have questions?
I still don't really know what it is. I like the fact that they're sort of separating, because I've been playing Origins recently, and I've been really enjoying the historical aspect, but find the modern day stuff a little bit of a slog. So from that point of view, I think it sounds good, but I don't fully understand it from what Infinity is.
Yeah, I think, Tom, your explanation definitely helps. I'm thinking, like, does Infinity have gameplay, or is it literally just an overarching platform where here are some cutscenes that explain the backstory and now you get to play the historical stuff? Or is there sort of a game element in Infinity?
Yeah. I should say, I really, I think Mark Alexis Cote, the boss of Assassin's Creed, is the perfect person to lead it. He really, really understands this franchise, the issues that it's faced in drawing people in. Victoria, you mentioned sort of modern day. If you're just dipping into Valhalla, say, and you've not played the previous two games, you're coming into Act 3 of this character called Layla. She's got this story. And actually, if you didn't play the really major expansion to Odyssey, set in Atlantis, you missed out. I would say probably the most important part of her story, and it was in an expansion to an 150-hour game, which was designed for you to play after that 150-hour game was over. So Mark Alexis Cote understands that this stuff is impenetrable. He understands, I think, anyway, that the way that we all play games is changing, and Assassin's Creed has to adapt. And so that means a different way of releasing Assassin's Creed adventures in the future. And I think, well, he said it, but I'm really excited for this, more flexibility about what an Assassin's Creed game can be. So in the past, we've seen these huge monolithic 150-hour action adventure RPGs, which are brilliant. And, you know, I've basically been playing an Assassin's Creed game nonstop for the last 5 years, because I was playing through Origins and then its DLC, and then Odyssey came out, and I don't even think I actually ended up finishing on my main save all of the expansion content in that game before Valhalla came out. And then I've been playing, and Valhalla's been a live service ever since. You know, there's been so much new content being added, free, a lot of it, and also paid. And that's great, except, you know, it is also limiting, because all of this stuff sort of gets released and it's quite piecemeal, and if you're not on top of it, and a lot of it's, you know, confusing, there has to be a better way to get people playing this stuff. And their concept of it is this sort of central hub where big games can come out and you can buy them in a box in a shop if you so wish, and you can play them, but you always sort of load up the Infinity area first, and within that there'll be ways to access other bits and pieces that they release for free. And those things can be like small little games. So quite recently they did these really good crossover stories for Odyssey and for Valhalla, which, without going into the meta story, like it makes sense and it's great for fans, and a lot of people played and enjoyed them, but more people could have played. One of the best bits, I think, of my talk with Mark Alexis Cote was him saying that actually this will allow for more diverse Assassin's Creed games, because when you are sort of trying to pin everything around these monolithic 150-hour temples, they've got to land, which is why, you know, quite recently we've seen them go for really big settings such as pyramids, Vikings, which is great. But, you know, what if you want something, you know, like one of my favorite games looking back in the past was I really love the end of the Ezio trilogy in Revelations, but like, how can you pin a 150-hour game around Constantinople? One of the things that they announced was Project Hexae, which is like this, is going to be this creepy Black Forest game set in the 30 Years' War, possibly involving Transylvania, Vlad the Impaler. Maybe you could do that, but like, I'm really curious what they do with all of these settings without that. It must be a 150-hour game. We must be able to pin all of our revenue from Assassin's Creed for the next 3 years on this game that has to be a success. And if it's not, then we've failed. I am really excited for them to be more experimental. I asked again this lingering question of Assassin's Creed having female protagonists, and I think that, you know, without the people from marketing saying, oh, you must have a guy on the box, you know, it just allows them to be more diverse in the characters and the stories they're telling. I've talked a lot. I am Assassin's Creed nerd. Yeah, I will just very quickly list. I've talked far too much this weekend already. Hear my voice. Boring everyone. Assassin's Creed stuff. I'll just quickly list the projects that are coming. So we've got the main one is Project Red, which is going to be a RPG. It's set in feudal Japan. Then there's Hexei, which is the Clint Hocking game, which is looking to be like a Black Forest, Germany, Bavaria, Transylvania kind of game in the 16th century, we think. They're doing a standalone multiplayer project, which will tie in all this stuff as well. And when I spoke to Mark Alexis Coyote, he also mentioned Free Bits. And about 10 minutes ago, Ed, you asked about a playable modern day. And this is something that I prodded Mark Alexis on a lot, because I'm really curious about whether this Infinity Launcher is kind of a downgrade for modern day story for a lot of people. People like having a small playable portion. And he said that in time, there would be playable bits to it that would pop up in the launcher, although it sounds like not at first.
You mentioned
does all of that make sense to you? Yeah.
So with Project Red, this is the one thing that I did take away from everything that was shown, and I find it very bizarre that so they've mentioned that Mirage is going to be focused on like stealth, which is great, but obviously Basim comes from an RPG game. But then they've made Red, which has got ninjas, an RPG and not stealth. And do you not kind of feel that it should be the other way around, given that ninjas are traditionally stealthy?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
No.
They haven't really talked about stealth on Red and how stealthy it would be. We don't really know much at all about it. But I hope that it is very stealthy. I think that you don't need to take stealth out for it to be an RPG, but I do see what you're saying. Yeah.
I do feel like they've very much split the fan base with recent games. And I mean, I've really enjoyed, well, for a time I enjoyed Valhalla until it just became exhausting, because there was just too much to it. But it was very much a Viking simulator and not a stealth game. I just ran around not even trying to be stealthy. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people probably missed those origin days of the early series. And I think Mirage is definitely filling that gap, which is nice. But it does feel like they've split the series. And so having Infinity as a way to sort of bring everyone together and be like, you can sort of choose your own adventure in a way of like, what kind of Assassin's Creed do you want to play? And we're going to provide a bit of everything, which is nice. And I think as well, going back to something you said earlier, Tom, I think Mirage will be interesting as to how they introduce that to people, because I think there are people who have skipped the RPGs, but will be interested in this new one, Mirage. Probably maybe thinking, oh, are they doing a remake of the first one? And it's not. But that's going to bring them back into the series. But then if they don't have that connection to Basim or haven't played Valhalla, like, are they going to enjoy Mirage as much, or will that work as a standalone game? Which I think is probably quite a difficult task for them.
I hope that it will work as a standalone game. I think that it's quite easy, I think, to sell the idea of a 15-hour Assassin's Creed game where you do play a guy with a Assassin's Creed hidden blade and you can run around. And the story looks to be quite, as far as we're aware, quite straightforward. You know, there are good guys and bad guys and you're liberating a city. And as a sort of palate cleanser from the 150-hour games of old, that should be quite attractive. That I like the fact that when I was speaking to the narrative director last week, I can't remember her name off the top of my head, but she was like, this is a story with a beginning and an end. And I knew what she was saying there, because Valhalla has a 150-hour game. You know, it has a beginning. You start off in Norway and then you go to Britain. But how many people actually reach the end of that game? I mean, I'm not sure. And apologies if you heard the fire alarm test going.
You don't have to go, do you? The one that I'm most curious about is probably the one we know least about, is the Hexei, though. I've got some kind of, I wouldn't say morbid curiosity, because it's not morbid, but there's something about that vibe that, like, I remember seeing the Crucible at school, and there's something quite unsettling, but also quite appealing about the way that was framed. I'm curious about that one.
That's the one that I'm most interested in as well. I love that kind of gothic horror-y kind of vibe. I mean, that's kind of why I love like Resident Evil Village. Like, it's just gothic horror, and I can imagine them bringing in a lot of that witchy, like you say, if it's got Transylvania, I might be bringing some vampire stuff in there. I would love to see in a sort of horror Assassin's Creed game. And I think that interests me a lot more than the Japan setting that I know has been a long time coming for fans and seems obvious because stealth, shinobi, like, of course you're going to have that. But it also feels very obvious and like it's been done in other games, and it's just going to be compared to Ghost of Tsushima. And I'm not fussed by that. I think it has potential and it could be really cool, but I just don't see it being the most original Assassin's Creed game. And I like when they go to somewhere that hasn't maybe been done and bring a sort of new sense of history to that.
Hanging with my witches.
I don't think you're like a main Assassin's Creed fan. Bearing in mind that with Infinity, they really could do any setting. Doesn't have to be a big one like Japan or Vikings. What would interest you, perhaps, if you could pick a time and a genre for Assassin's Creed, where would you like to see the franchise go?
I don't know. Well, there's obviously the mobile Jade game, isn't there? That's China. And I'm a bit disappointed, I guess, that that's been put away into a little mobile game. I would have really liked to see that getting explored in a proper mainline entry. I don't know. I feel like I really like the idea of Hexe because it's so far removed from what they normally do. So I feel like if I could choose anything, it would kind of have to be something that's a bit sort of like not normal for Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, something unexpected.
There's the cynic in me with that China set mobile game that's very much like, well, Tencent's involved, mobile gaming's massive in China, let's do something set in China, which is me being cynical, but I feel like that's very much a tick box exercise when actually that setting, like you say, does deserve to be like a mainline game.
Yeah, when I read about like there's one set in China and you can do parkour and on the wall, I was like, that's really cool, and it was mobile, and I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
So I was really like peaked. No,
it has potential. I just don't think it's going to get explored in a mobile game.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I think China is a city would be really interesting to do.
With Jade, I wonder if we might see a console port of that in the future, and the fact that it could just slot into Infinity would be an interesting way to release that port. They did do. With AC Liberation, which was a sort of spin-off for the PlayStation Vita, that eventually did get a home console release. And I wonder if with Jade, maybe a couple of years down the line, if that does eventually end up on console. I would love to play it on console. I just don't sit down to play that kind of game on my phone. You know, if it's not out and I'm not playing Pokemon Go on it, then I'm not interested.
I think as well, thinking of like other mythologies that are out there that haven't been touched, I would love to see something sort of Aztec, Mayan kind of vibes, because I think that's a sort of mythological area that gaming hasn't really touched a lot, apart from like Tomb Raider. Oh, I can't think of many games in that setting. So I would love to see something like that and exploring those gods. I think that could be cool. The other thing I'd also love to see is more Hindu mythology. Again, like recently, a couple of years ago, there was Raji, an ancient epic that is set in Hindu mythology. And I think that could be a really interesting area for Assassin's Creed as well, because there are always links to the mythology, as we've had in the last couple of games, and you talked about the djinn earlier. So I'm kind of thinking more along mythological areas as opposed to, it links with geographical, but I'm thinking along mythological lines of like what hasn't been touched yet, and they're two areas that I think haven't been done in Assassin's Creed and could be quite interesting.
That'd be really good, actually. I really enjoyed The Lost Legacy when they went into that heritage of Chloe Fraser. So I think that would be really interesting to have that developed even further in a bigger game. Good shout.
I would love to see an Aztec one. And I wonder if that's maybe one that they've held back on in the past, because I think it would attract some people for sure. And I'd love to play it, but could you get 150-hour game and two expansions out of it, which has sort of been the high bar that the past AC games have had to reach to sort of get greenlit? Could you do that? Maybe, maybe not. And so as sort of a 30-hour game, you know, I'd love to play that. And that's what I really hope from Infinity, actually, is that not only do we just get a more cohesive and inviting way to access some of these games, but it really sort of makes the games themselves more cohesive and inviting by saying, you know, we're going to give you a story with an end, which is not too much to ask, right? But in the way that games are now, they're being made to live forever. And I think Infinity is a way that AC can continue as a brand for a long time, but still be more experimental and individual with all of the projects that go into it. Ubisoft have said in the past that they want to experiment with free to play with all of their main franchises, and we've seen that, you know, during the Ubisoft Forward, they talked about the Division Heartland, which is their free to play PvPvE take on that. And a lot of people, when they said that, you know, we want to do free to play with all our main franchises, people thought, oh no, what are you going to do with Assassins? Are you going to have to start paying for, you know, poison darts? You know, how are you going to make a big Assassin's Creed game free to play? And I think Infinity is the answer to that, in that some bits of it will still be the main boxed releases that come along every 2 years or so. But in the meantime, there's this stuff that brings people in, and people are able to sort of access without it being these never-ending games, which are good. Like, I'm still playing Valhalla now, and I've still got so much stuff to do, but God, I mean, it's just, it feels never-ending. I would love for me to sort of hit a very final point and for them to be like, okay, we're going to Aztecs for 10 hours now, and you know, great, okay, I'll give that a go.
How many right, hours into Valhalla are you?
So how many hours into AC?
How many hours into like Valhalla?
250.
Wow. That's a good chunk of your life, my friend.
That's the main game, which was about 150 hours. The Ireland expansion, the Paris expansion, the free Isle of Skye expansion with the crossover stories with Cassandra. It's the River Raids game mode. It's the combat play mode. It's most recently I've tried the roguelite game mode. And all of these have to live on top of Valhalla. So if you don't buy the base game, you don't get any of this stuff. And also, you know, I'm an Assassin's Creed nerd. I'm still playing the game almost 2 years after it came out. And even though Valhalla sold millions and millions of copies, it's like an inverted pyramid. Like, you get all of these people who play a base game when it comes out, and you get some people that buy the first expansion, some people that buy the second expansion. And now we're sort of a year and a half, 2 years in. Like, I've heard nothing about that roguelite mode that's been made. And we're sort of down to this sliver. And I think that's another reason why Infinity is important, because, you know, you're stacking all of these things on top of a great game, but you've got to keep people interested. And the roguelite mode, in my mind, I've not played it that much, but it's not very good. I'm not having a great time with it. I probably won't play it much more. Sort of stuck with it for a couple of hours just out of curiosity, really. But I wonder if, you know, if this was going to be a bigger thing, use those resources and do something a bit different. Like, don't, you know, try and stretch more out of Valhalla 2 years in. Go do some Aztecs, or, you know, make a bit of playable modern day and get people sort of interested in that, and put it on the desktop in the launcher, and you're not, like, to find this roguelite mode, you have to go to your go to somewhere in your settlement and, like, find them and start talking to them, and then it's just, and there's already, you know, dozens and dozens of things that I've still got to do in Valhalla before I even start thinking about this new mode that's added. So yeah, I'm excited for Infinity whenever it arrives, and all of the things that it can bring. We should say we don't know when Codename Red, the Shinobi Feudal Japan game, will arrive. That will herald the start of Infinity. One of the questions I asked Archilexus was, could we see this launch sooner, you know, as a way to sort of get people excited for that? And he said, no, it will launch with Codename Red. If Mirage is next year and it's a very vague 2023 date, we could be looking at late 2024 for Codename Red. I was also a bit disappointed we didn't see any gameplay for Mirage 2. We just got that CGI trailer. So, yeah, it's interesting. When I spoke to the art director for Mirage, because there's been a lot of talk recently about crowd size, he said that they were still tuning that. And I wonder if they're not showing anything of Mirage at the moment is because they are still working on like crowd density and, you know, gameplay elements, and they don't want to show anything that they later sort of have to tweak and get accused of downgrading. So, but still, I thought we might get gameplay and we didn't, which was a bit of a shame.
Agreed.
I should mention very briefly, you can go read all this stuff on Eurogamer right now. There's half a dozen articles that went live over the weekend on all of these projects, including the multiplayer project. There's more detail on that if you want to go find that out. There's also my interview with Yves Guillemot, where we had him speak about the company issues that have been bubbling over really for 2 years now to do with workplace harassment. He also gave a very brief sort of one-line update on NFTs, which is that they're not dropping it, but it doesn't sound like anything's particularly imminent. And he also talked about the company's independence, which was very well timed right after this Tencent thing. I don't know if you guys saw any of the stuff that he was talking about. I would say there was no real big surprises there.
I mean, interesting that they're sort of dying down a little bit on the NFT thing, because that was such a huge thing at the start of the year and obviously had quite a big backlash. So, yeah, I guess they sort of want to keep the door open, but they're clearly not pushing that as much as maybe they thought they might be. So, yeah, interesting.
Is there. Quartz still a thing? It is still a thing.
Well, I asked specifically about Quartz. You know, I name checked it and Yves Guillemot replied to me, and he gave an answer which is quite general. I won't read it out. You can go find it. It's on Eurogamer. But it was just generally like Ubisoft as a company is generally still interested in new technologies such as Web3 and associated things. As to that specific Quartz project, which became quite a toxic brand internally and Ubisoft's fans, I think, you know, there wasn't, I can't remember seeing anyone who liked it. He didn't give any update at all, which I thought was telling in itself.
Yeah, a lot being said and what they didn't say.
Yeah. It was the same with the workplace stuff. The way that Yves Guillemot described it when we were over in Paris was that the company had stumbled, but that they were progressing. And, you know, I've spoken to quite a few people at Ubisoft since. The impression they've given me is that the company is serious about this stuff. But we also heard last week from people within the company who say that there are still people there that they want out and they want Ubisoft to do more. So it remains, I would just say, a very complicated picture, and one that even after sort of laying out this roadmap of new projects and yeah, you know, like talking to press for the first time in several years in a way that they haven't done for a while, it is still prevalent and still around. I don't think that those questions have been completely answered.
Yeah, there was a Better Ubisoft who were interviewed by the AC Sisterhood movement about the sort of current state of the company a year after their campaign launched, and how a lot of their demands still haven't really been met. And it still feels like Ubisoft is quite a troubled company. So obviously the front end, you've got Assassin's Creed and all these, you know, flashy new games coming, but behind the scenes, it's, you know, still feels like it's quite troubled as a company. And there are a lot of changes that need to be made.
Yeah.
Well, we will keep reporting on all of that. keep reporting on more details of Infinity as it comes out. We're still some way away. But thank you. If you've got this far listening to us, it's much appreciated. Thank you, Ed Victoria Liv, for putting up with me excitedly talking about AC nonstop for the past however long. We'll catch you again next time with whatever is bubbling over in the industry. It's an interesting week. We've got Tokyo Game Show. We've got a potential Nintendo Direct coming up. So you may hear more from us soon. Until then, Ed, where can people find you on Twitter?
You can find me at Ed_Knights.
And Victoria?
I'm Lil Chop Shop Gal.
And Liv?
I am at Just Cast Holy.
And I'm at Tom Phillips CG. Thanks again, everyone. We'll see you next time.